9 o'clock. It's the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. 101.1 FM, 1340 AM for the Valley. Highway 50, 102.1 FM. And online all the time. Get the mobile app at our website, team1340.com. You can also get it at Google Play or the Apple App Store. NFL schedule release tonight. Reports are from Mile High Report that the Broncos will open the season at Seattle Sunday Night Football against the Seahawks. Russ going back home. Drew Lock maybe possibly taking on his old team. Drew's got to win the job first. And you think, well, he's going to beat out Geno Smith, isn't he? Well, we'll find out. Like, if he can't beat out Geno Smith, isn't that just another indictment on Drew Lock?
It's all because Vic Fangio didn't give him a chance.
Who couldn't beat out Teddy Bridgewater, who just, and I get it, he had the challenge of different OCs when he was there, and he had some injuries.
At some point, you got to get the job done.
Yeah, you got to get the job done, and it's, if you don't get the job done, and I get it, there people thought that he got shafted in the preseason, that Teddy didn't clearly beat him out. Do you think the Broncos would have been as competitive with Lock at quarterback last year? I just don't think so. I just don't. All right. So text or call us 970-242-1340. But right now it's time to talk. Some more history, more local high school sports history.
Yeah.
Because we mentioned, and we had Doug Beach on from the Central girls soccer team in our first hour, getting their first ever postseason win. So for the Fruit of Monument boys lacrosse team, they had their own piece of history yesterday with their playoff win. Time to talk Wildcats lacrosse.
Talking through the Monument Wildcat Sports on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, our conversation with Fruit of Monument coach Kevin Costanza, brought to you by the Rick Nelson Agency and American Family Insurance. For a free comparison, call this team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078. Wildcats get the overtime win over Dakota Ridge over Community Hospital Unity Field. Kevin, I appreciate the time. Congratulations on some history for the Wildcats lacrosse team. First ever postseason win for Fruit of Monument boys lacrosse. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here with you this morning.
And I know that for your guys, you know, going back to all the way when they were little kids, you know, 11, 12 years old, that was a moment that they've been waiting for. A moment like that where they, you know, watching some of those teams from the past at Fruit of Monument and Grand Junction, they square off against each other in lacrosse, waiting for their opportunity to get on the field and have their chance at success, most notably in the playoffs. I mean, it was for a lot of those young players that were kids then, your guys now, a dream coming true yesterday with that win.
Absolutely. Yeah, one of our assistant coaches, actually, James Compton, was part of the team back in the day when they were dreaming about those and making it to the playoffs. And he sent a picture to our group yesterday of four of our guys, Jonathan Diedrich, Mason Compton, Owen Bangert, and Branson Padgett, all when they were little kids sitting out on a lacrosse field just enjoying life and having fun. And that was kind of our theme yesterday, was just get back to play in lacrosse like you were when you were a kid, and it was just happy-go-lucky having fun, and enjoy the ride that you guys get to be on one more time with one another.
I know that when we talked that you expected a very physical game with Dakota Ridge, and your team is a very physical team itself. I mean, you guys are used to being in the Mountain League, being the aggressor, being the more physical team. But Dakota Ridge, they posed a physical challenge yesterday, and they made it really tough for your team from that standpoint.
They certainly did. Yeah, we knew coming in that playing down in that Denver metro area, those guys play some tough competition, and they're playing some of the best week in and week out. And we knew we were going to have our hands full yesterday, and they sure brought it yesterday with their physicality. And we knew we were up for a task, and thankfully our guys were able to withstand that and to throw a few blows back themselves.
Wildcats, third highest scoring team in 5A lacrosse. They get the 13-12 win yesterday in overtime over Community Hospital Unity Field over Dakota Ridge. We're talking with Kevin Costanza, Wildcats head coach, today on the team. And you had the four-goal lead, and then they put together a rally. They scored four goals in the final, 126 of the game to get it tied 12-12. What was going through your mind, your team's mind, and what was maybe the message during that stretch when they came back, got it tied up to force the extra session?
Yeah, that stretch was one we haven't seen for quite a while here. 2 minutes and 6 seconds left, and they were able to pull that off. We had a little moment of lapse in ourselves there, mentally, I guess, is how I'd put it. And once they tied it back up, we just brought everybody in and told them, take a couple breaths, make the next play. I don't care about what just happened a moment ago, giving up 4 goals. Make the next one. The next one's the only one that's going to matter for the rest of the time we have together. So make the next play. And they came out and did it.
Kevin Costanza, coach of the Fertile Monument boys lacrosse team, joining us on the program today. They get the victory over Dakota Ridge yesterday. And so for your club, you know, take us through overtime a little bit and how that played out, because your team, like you said, they focused on the moment and delivered in a big way in overtime.
They did, yeah. The first little bit there of overtime was kind of hectic and crazy and got my heart going, and I think I got lost about 5 years off of my life in the first few moments of that overtime there. We had the ball, and we had a great opportunity to finish the game early in overtime, and Dakota Ridge played really great defense, and they were able to get the ball back for themselves. Came down the field, and by golly, Ross Winters, our outstanding goalie, ended up making some phenomenal saves right on the doorstep there to give us another chance. And we knew if we got one more chance at it down on the offensive end that we'd take care of it. And Carter and Mason have worked really well together all season, this year, last year, and growing up together playing with one another. They kind of have a little bit of telepathy. And when Carter cut yesterday towards the goal at the end of overtime there, Mason saw that and read it all the way, and that was ball game. And that's all we needed, was just that one extra chance to get it done, and those boys were ready to do it.
Yeah, Carter Harmon coming up with the game-winning goal in overtime yesterday to lead Fertile Monument past Dakota Ridge in overtime in the 5A State Lacrosse Tournament. Wildcats head coach Kevin Costanza with us today on the Team Sports Network. Tony Farber, Kyson Stegelmeyer, they each had 3 goals apiece yesterday, so a good performance. But in Ross Winters had the 9 saves and goal, and like you said, in the case of Ross, came up with some huge saves at critical times during that game yesterday.
He certainly did. Yeah, Ross has kind of been the heart and soul, and showed yesterday of our defense when he was able to shut the door on them in overtime. They had some really good looks right in front of him on the cage, and he stood tall and made some saves and made some great passes. Tony as well showed why he's just another phenomenal player coming out of our program, going on to CMU next year. He stood the test, and he wasn't going very well early on. He scored the first goal of the game for us, and then they kind of cooled him off, but when crunch time came, Tony made sure he was there for his teammates. And Kyson as well had 3 goals and 3 assists. He just would not give up for his senior class and wanted to make sure that they accomplished the goals they had set out for him. One other guy I'd like to point out as well throughout all of that, he might not have had the most phenomenal stats out there, but number 5, Drew Summers on our team, midfielder, he would not let us lose that game. He played wings on faceoffs at the end of the fourth quarter and going into overtime, and he would not let us not get a ground ball. He made sure that everything was coming up our way and did everything in his power to make sure that we were able to get that win.
And with the win over Dakota Ridge, you now move on to the next round of the 5A state tournament. The task even bigger this time, because it's Mountain Vista at their place, 2 o'clock this Saturday. Mountain Vista, the defending 5A state champion. So, Kevin, like you said, it's a congratulations on that first postseason win in Fertile Monument lacrosse history. But now you have to quickly brush that aside and focus on trying to beat the defending champions.
Absolutely, yeah. We got to celebrate our victory last night, and now when we woke up today, it's back to work and focusing on the goal ahead of going 1-0 again. We're playing a great opponent in Mountain Vista. They won the state championship last year in the 5A rank, and they've got a phenomenal team loaded with a bunch of juniors and seniors and coached by a great coaching staff down there, Coach Plitnick, who I actually got to play for back in my high school days. So we're as prepared as we can be, and we're just going to sit in the classroom today, watch some film, and find out how we can be the best version of us again out there on Saturday afternoon.
You mentioned you played for their coach. The style of play, very physical team. Give us a little bit of some insight into his coaching philosophy, and what do you expect to see on Saturday?
Yeah, they are a physical team. They're big. They've got some big bruisers down low. They're not afraid to smack you in the mouth. As a defensive unit, they've got a great goalie out there as well that they've trained up really well. And their offense, they like to operate from down low. They like to let their attackers kind of initiate a bunch of stuff and find the backside looks like we do, and moving the ball to the opposite side of the field, getting the defense sucked over to one half, and then finding the open guys on the far side of the field. So it's going to be a great test for us to see how we match up against them, and I'm excited to get to go down and see if we can compete against these guys and show them that Western Slope Lacrosse is here and it's to stay.
Hey, Kevin, I appreciate the time. Congratulations to you and your team on the victory over Dakota Ridge. Some history yesterday for the Wildcat boys lacrosse team, and hopefully more history with hopefully a victory in the second round against the defending state champions. And so we appreciate the time this morning, and safe travels over on this weekend. And thanks again for coming on this morning, Kevin.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Go Cats.
All right, Kevin Costanza, coach of the Fruit of Monmouth boys lacrosse team. Said Central girls, they get their first ever win in the postseason for the boys or girls soccer programs at Central. Fruit of boys get their first ever lacrosse win in the postseason. Joel Pelese for Mountain Vista, by the way, he's their leading scorer, 39 goals on the season. They also have a very good secondary scorer in Ethan Pearson. He scored 37 goals. But then you got Tony Farber and Gaison Stegelmeyer and the guys on that Mason Compton on that Fruita team, third best scoring team in 5A lacrosse this season. Once again, they'll play at Mountain Vista this Saturday at 2 o'clock in the second round of the 5A state lacrosse tournament. All right, Jim along with the Buckeye boy today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Do we have a winner yet for who is it today?
We don't have an incorrect guess either. We're waiting for our first guess.
Nobody's... Let's see.
Not at all.
Now,
According to my list.
Now, Tony has a guess.
Let me refresh.
You've got a couple. Jeff and Tony
waiting,
have guesses.
Waiting, spinning, spinning. That's Jeff is incorrect.
That is the downside to our new tech system.
Yes.
You have to refresh or you don't. So what about...
Jeff, you are wrong. Tony, you are correct.
Okay. So with Tony posting the correct answer...
Yep.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Russ, already 29. Actually, he's a few years past that. Turning 29 on Saturday, Tony correctly identifying one Kyle Freeland.
Congratulations to Tony.
Yes.
Gets quite a little prize package
he
today.
He does. He gets a case of New Belgian beer and a pair of Scottish-Irish Highland Games tickets.
Out at the Mesa County Fairgrounds,
yes.
Saturday and Sunday.
So, Tony, you got to get those by tomorrow at 4 p.m.
And, by the way, get your tickets now for the Grand Valley Highland Games, the Scottish and Irish Festival, Celtic Festival, GrandValleyHighlandGames.com. That is Saturday and Sunday out at the Mesa County Fairgrounds. All right, Tom Arrington, the coach of San Jacinto North from Houston, Texas, will join us. They're the number 12 team in the latest JUCO baseball poll, so we'll talk with him about this year's edition of the Gators as they hope to get to Grand Junction. Of course, we're getting closer and closer to the Alpine Bank Junior College World Series. And don't forget, you can catch every single moment of the series on the Team Sports Network starting that Saturday on Memorial Day weekend. So, which would be the 28th. I had to look at the calendar. We have a lot of baseball in front of between now and JUCO.
Mm-hmm.
RMAC tournament going on.
Mm-hmm.
Mavericks and CSU Pueblo today at 2:45.
Yeah.
High school postseason starts next week.
Well, you got Fruita Junction coming up on Monday to finish the regular season.
To wrap up the regular season. Fruita's already clinched the Southwestern League title. Palisade, the Western Slope League title. But we have playoff baseball that starts next weekend. Mavericks could very... You know, right now, they're the number one team in the South Central region.
Mm-hmm.
Looking to host over at Bergman, the South Central region. Of course, they have the sub-regional after that. So we have a lot of baseball in front of us between now and the Junior College World Series.
Yes, we do.
And to keep up to date on what games we're covering, what's going on, always check our schedule at theteam1340.com.
Yep.
And we got that little Stanley Cup playoff thing going on, too.
Oh, yeah.
Next week.
By the way. Yeah, you got that.
With the Avalanche. So, yeah, and some Rockies baseball.
And the Rockies getting wrecked by the National League West all for the next 5 months.
We'll see. That'll be fun. They get Kansas City coming in tomorrow, and let's see if they can get back to their winning ways at Coors
Scrappy
Field.
Royals.
Yeah, we'll see how the Rockies respond. coming off this road trip. And I'll play the clip from Bud. Here's Bud Black. This is after the loss yesterday to San Francisco. They've now dropped 10 straight to the Giants.
We'll bounce back. We got a good group. The guys are frustrated, but you know, it's part of the long season.
What's Bud supposed to say, though?
Yeah,
we're dumpster fire and we're horrible, and because they're not really a dumpster fire. They are against the Giants. They have been on this road trip.
Yeah,
but they've been really good at home. And so we'll see if they can kind of lick their wounds a little bit. Not having Chris Bryant in the lineup does not help right now.
No, it doesn't. Not at all. They're missing some offensive punch, and he hasn't gone deep yet. But he's a guy that can put the ball in play.
Has that potential?
Yeah.
To make that happen. All right, 9:16. We will take a break, and we'll come back. Back half of this hour, we'll have In the Garage of NASCAR. Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. That's coming up on the Jim Davis Show.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the team. It's time to talk Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series on the team.
And join us this morning on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. His team was at the Junior College World Series last year and got all the way to deep in the tournament before losing to Central Arizona. Lost to the two teams that played for the title, Central Arizona and McLennan, Texas, won the title last year. San Jacinto North head coach Tom Arrington joins us. Tom, I appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on today.
Well, good morning, Jim. Thank you for having me.
Always sure. Good. Always good talking with you. Always great to talk with you about Gators baseball. And like I said, last year your ball club made that deep run, came up a little bit short, though, in those games against Central Arizona McLennan. Like I said, the two teams that squared off in the national championship game. So you were right there late in the week in the conversation.
Oh, well, yeah. It was tough. You know, it was a tough bracket to be in, and you know where we were at, and to fight through it. And you know, obviously, you know, McLennan and Central both had very, very good ball clubs, and so it was just, you know, it was a good tournament, like I said, but it was a tough bracket for sure.
Last year was the first year we had the seeding. Just kind of your thoughts about the tournament being seeded and how that worked, and from your perspective.
Well, you know, seeding is a difficult process. I think it involves many, many things. You know, they look at several reports and what they do with the NJCAA, as well as, you know, or you look perfect game seeding, or you can look at, you know, the Massey seeding reports. There's several that can identify certain teams and where they stand and who they played against and so forth. It was tough. Because I felt, you know, that part of the bracket where we were seated in, I felt there was other teams that had a, you know, seated below us that had a, you know, different route. I don't know if it's the seeding process that's always been a little bit discouraging, or just the 10 teams. It's hard to make an even bracket on 10 teams. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Would Tom Arrington want an 8-team team or 8-team field, or add to that field? If I can ask you that.
Yeah, I think a 16 would be good, to then bust it down from there. Then you got to have two even 18 brackets, and the alignment will work a little more accordingly. You know, when you have some teams that you know, 10 teams, it's just very, very tough, you know, where some teams could have a bye or uneven days to play on while others don't, then it's I don't think it's as even as you would like in the end, I would say.
San Jacinto North head baseball coach Tom Arrington joining us today. The Gators, the number 12 team in the nation. And Tom, just looking at some of the offensive numbers, you always have some standout bats going, you know, back to a Brandon Belt that's still doing his thing with the San Francisco Giants. But your freshman Mason Lytle has had a good season, you know, in terms of home runs. He has 10. He's hitting .410 right now. But Harold Cole has been outstanding for you. 61 RBIs. He leads your team in that category. 9 home runs, hitting .353. So Cole with the RBIs, Lytle with the home runs. Those two guys have put up some impressive numbers this season.
Yeah. I think you know that hopefully you know we still have to go through this weekend series with the Alvin Baseball Club, but you know, very happy with the way the hitters have come along this year. You know, Harold Cole was obviously ranked as one of the best players in the country, and rightly so. I know he had started off a little bit slow there, but has really come on as of lately. And very, very nice swing and what he can do. He's a middle of the lineup type of guy. Whereas you mentioned Mason Lytle, who does lead our team in home runs and so forth. He, an average, he is a leadoff guy. So the RBIs might not be there when you're looking at his numbers and identifying what you have. You know, and I think as you go on and you look at numbers are great, but you have to see them in person to really see what they can do. There's a lot of teams that, you know, can have a schedule that misidentifies, you know, what they're doing. There's, you know, right now, you know, our schedule's pretty tough. We went to Florida twice and then we went up, played Grayson and Seminole, and there's just a lot of our non-conference schedule is packed with teams that are you know, gonna be there. Teams that we're gonna see later on, where you know you might see other teams with schedules that don't quite have the rankings or I guess opponents that we would have. So,
Gators head coach Tom Arrington joining us today on the Team Sports Network. I know you hang your hat being a former pitcher on your pitching staff and how they do. 3.49 ERA for the staff this season. Hunter Holland, the freshman. Leads you in innings pitch, 73 2/3. He's won 8 games this season, 3.42 ERA. But look in terms of wins, Chris Stewart's been your best guy with 10 wins this season. Kind of take us through, Tom, your pitching staff this year.
Well, yeah, you list guys as freshmen because of what they're identified in with this darn COVID situation, because with the NJCAA, they didn't count years against them in dealing with the COVID stuff. So even though they're listed as freshmen, they're very mature pitchers. They pitched, you know, last year Hunter Holland was one of our guys and brought him back. Matt Keating is throwing extremely well for us. And, you know, Chris Stewart, all three coming back from last year's club that really add a lot of maturity to it. And guys that you can rely on and know what they're going to bring every day is extremely important.
Tom Arrington, coach of San Jacinto North, joining us today. His team was at the Junior College World Series last year over at Sam Saplesio Field. You mentioned you got Alvin coming up. Region 14 right now, the Region 14 South, your team 38-17. Alvin's 32-21. So a big matchup coming up with a team in Alvin that they themselves have been to the Junior College World Series in the past.
Yes, I mean, you know, we're looking forward to it. We started something a couple of years ago where we split our 8-team regional into two 4-team regionals and then bring the winners of those two 4-team regionals to a best 2 out of 3, like a super regional. And that's what's involved right now. We ended up winning our regional last weekend as well as they did, so we're coming together for the best 2 out of 3 series. You know, we know them. They're right down the road. They're only maybe 40 minutes away, and so we know each other, and it's going to be a tough series, I'm sure.
Well, Tom, I always appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on today. Good luck against Alvin this weekend, and hopefully we'll see you back here in Grand Junction for another appearance in the Junior College World Series coming up Memorial Day weekend.
Well, thank you, Jim. We're looking forward to it. If we win, it'd be nice to chat with you again. So there we go.
Likewise. Take care. Tom Arrington joining us today from San Jacinto North. Take care, Tom.
You too.
All right. Tom Arrington with us today. You know, I asked Tom about what he would do.
Mm-hmm.
16 teams, that's not going to happen.
No.
I don't see any scenario where that happens, because the feeling is that 12 teams will never happen. That it's never going to get bigger than 10 teams. You know, I should say never. I know that the feeling here is that they don't want it to get bigger than 10 teams. That really the preference would be cut it down to 8. But now you've got a couple of things that factor in here that make it challenging going forward. The Florida schools that and I understand why they feel like there should be two teams out of Florida. I totally get that. Their teams consistently play for a national championship or late into the week.
Yeah.
Gulf District baseball, Florida baseball. We've talked about a lot with, obviously, Jeff Johnson, Double J over the years, mm-hmm. Chipola's head coach, and others, and how good Florida baseball is.
Because there's one stretch they were in the championship game. It doesn't matter which Florida school, but for...
That state was represented.
Like 5 or 6 years in a row.
Yes. And so they make a valid case for two teams coming out of that state. Texas has two teams, or the opportunity to bring two teams here.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems logical that you would have, for Florida to have another opportunity, like we've talked about, and we've talked with Jeff Johnson about this.
Yeah.
Of maybe it's incorporating a, you know, the schools in the panhandle with the Alabama schools or Georgia or whatever the case may be, though there's fewer and fewer JUCO teams in Georgia. But finding a way for them to be involved, maybe qualifying through a different path,
mm-hmm.
which the state of Texas has that opportunity from to do that.
2013 to 2015, Florida was either the champion or runner-up in 5 of those 6 tournaments.
So they make a case, and it's mm-hmm. a really good case, that they probably deserve additional representation.
Yeah.
And now you have the potential with the talks ongoing with California. Well, part of their deal be, well, we think we should have two teams in. How's that going to work? I think, because certainly they're going to make a case for California Junior College Baseball. We think it's the best. We think we should have two teams, and that's where we start,
right?
With us, with California being involved in the Junior College World Series. I just don't see where it's going to be a 16 team field.
There's no way. I can't say not ever for 12 or 8, really, but there's just not going to be 16 unless somehow you can merge the California side into it. That's the only way.
But also, here's the thing, though. As long as the tournament continues to be predominantly a volunteer organization, which is what it is, the JUCO committee is a volunteer group of people.
Yeah.
How are you going to ask volunteer people, hey, do you have another week you could give up of your life to? So it's going to goes from 1 week to 2 weeks.
Right.
Not including all the time that they spend, those involved in ticket sales, with the online stuff, marketing, all the other things that go into the Junior College World Series before the first pitch is ever thrown. And so you're going to ask a volunteer group of people, hey, can you now give up a couple of weeks of your summer?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see that happening. I don't. I didn't want to get into a big discussion with Tom about it, because he initially was kind of reluctant, but I'm going to ask you, what would be your
right
solution?
No, absolutely.
It's not going to be 16 teams. I think
it's the old Mike Tomlin. Never say never, but never.
But never. And you know, when we've had Jamie Hamilton on about it, I mean, Jamie would prefer it to be 8 teams. He thinks mm-hmm. It'd be a better tournament, better bracket, which would address Tom Arrington's concerns.
Right.
As much as they possibly can. That you would have 8 teams, it's a better bracket, it's a clean bracket, as opposed to the dirty bracket that now exists. Have they fixed some things with this bracket? With the complaint about, well, there's, you know, a couple teams gone before two teams even play. Well, they've addressed that now. And I think changing that, where that Sunday night game is no longer two teams that play for the first time, that was a good change. It was a positive change.
Right.
The seeding, I think there's still some hiccups with it and how it gets rolled out. I know in talking to some folks that are with service clubs, they're a little frustrated with the process of when they find out who they're going to be hosting and those kind of things. in terms of schedules and things like that, of when teams are going to play because of being seeded and everything. But I think by and large, last year's seeding went okay. It wasn't bad.
There's always going to be bumps and hiccups first year round.
Absolutely.
Because it changes, right? There's change. You don't know when you're going to, like for the service clubs, you don't, this year, now you know that, all right, we may not know until this time. Let's plan what we can plan.
Right.
They have to adapt.
Right. And it does make it more difficult for those folks that host. But,
it does.
But as time goes on, they'll find a way to work through it. I just, you know, when we talk to somebody, and Tom's a guy that's always been very vocal about coming to Grand Junction and about the tournament. And so that's why I wanted to ask him about a little bit. And I just don't think adding more teams is probably something that is a realistic answer to some of his concerns.
Look, and if Florida gets a second team, then Texas is going to want a third.
That could very well be the case. I wouldn't be surprised at that.
And then you have your very loaded states who are essentially their own districts, Alabama, Kansas. They're going to want another team too, because Alabama has sent a number of different teams that are competitive.
Kansas, Cali County, they've won championships.
Yeah, so you're going to have regions, like for every region you get that's like New York, where there's only three teams that play D1 baseball for like the entire Northeast, you have Kansas that's got 18 teams. Florida's got 19, 20 teams. You know, you talked to Tom Arrington about,
what about Arizona? What about the West?
What about Arizona? Who's competitive?
They could simply say, wait a minute, why don't we have an opportunity to get two teams in? It does open up a Pandora's box, if you will.
Yeah.
Moving forward.
It does. How? Because you add one somewhere, everybody else is going to be unhappy. And that's why I don't think it's going to go to eight unless they come up with a super regional format. And even then, you're going to get some teams unhappy.
But that's just going to have to be accepted. Because you can't keep complaining about the bracket every year. You can't keep adding teams, because 16, is 16 going to be enough for some people? Well, no, we feel like we have a good team every year, and we play in a tough region, and and it's going to go on and on, where there's nobody's going to be happy.
Right.
The best to me, I agree with you, the best solution, and this has been mentioned by a lot of folks, is it goes down to eight, and it becomes the super regional to get here. And you just got to play great baseball to get here. Sorry, if you're in a tough region, that's just too bad, because that probably needs to be the solution at some point.
And then you no longer have the, well, I mean, who did, and this is just an example, who did Monroe really beat to get here? They won their district. It doesn't matter. That's how it's laid out.
Right.
They won their district.
So, but maybe they need to
Do they really deserve to be? Well, if there's a super regional round, then maybe they don't get here. And sorry, them's the breaks, kids. But sometimes you have to play the way it's currently constructed. And the way it's constructed right now is there's 10 districts. It's a dirty bracket. You're seated on what, Thursday?
Yeah.
Wednesday, Thursday, somewhere around there.
Well, yeah. And I just got a text from our colleague, Tom Sheldon, that's on the committee, that lost another service club. Hotels are getting tougher to get. So you're gonna have 16 teams here.
Yeah.
When you're already having a challenge, when there's 10 teams coming here, of getting enough hotel rooms.
Like, this isn't Omaha. This isn't D1 Division I baseball 4 year. This isn't, you know, March Madness. There's only so many dollars to go around for these clubs to come here and play.
We've seen years where Major League Baseball has had to kind of chip in to help subsidize some schools.
I'm waiting for the year a school has to go thanks, but no thanks, because they just can't make it.
We just can't do it. It's not going to happen. All right. 9:38. Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy, we're going to go in the garage of NASCAR. Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan, coming up in a moment. We have this day in sports history on the way next, but who do we have here?
We have Duke.
Okay, we got Duke.
He knows a thing or two about this.
He does. Spent some time on the committee. Duke, good morning. How are you?
Good, Jim. Good, Jim and sidekick.
hey.
Sidekick? Wow.
He's got taking... a name, Duke.
That guy has been around forever.
That's right.
Yeah, this is an interesting topic, especially because you're going to have fallout. You've already addressed it. I don't want to kill it with more words. You're going to have that fourth team. Let's just call it the fourth team. I don't know if it's the third team every year, but the fourth team. Oh my God! Don't run those yellow blinking lights. Oh my God. Okay, I'm on 12th Street, obviously.
Hey, at least they're using the crosswalk.
Yeah, good.
And they're mostly adorable, so okay, that's great.
Okay, good. Well, let's not kill the adorable pedestrians
must
today.
Be dogs, then, apparently.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's sad when somebody takes advantage of talking on a story about it. But you know what? It's going to happen because you got guys that are driven by their ego. That's how they've survived what they're doing, especially with today's parental oversights involved, and coaching cannot be easy. But reality is, if you're successful, you know, you're gonna take shots. And he took a shot. I appreciated what he said, because you don't know it unless you hear it.
Right.
And a lot of things out there, and you know, I don't know what your base is for how many people listen a day, but the reality of it is that the system is, every system is flawed to some degree, but are they trying to correct it? Hell yeah, they are.
Sure.
You know, they're doing everything they can to make it the best tournament possible. You know, I hear what my old friend and great second baseman, I mean, I don't know if you realize this, but when I played at Mesa, there was three District 7, which was as good as you could get. You know, three guys I was playing with were all District 7. Hell, all I had to do was catch the ball at first base, you know? I mean, anyway, between Bateman and Durker and Hamilton, I mean, phenomenal guys, all of them great personalities, wonderful, caring people, great, great people. But anyway, back to the JUCO conversation, it's fascinating because we're trying. And Jimmy, you're right. 16 teams will never work. I don't know who dropped out from the side of the service club. I mean, we only have 12 people, 14 people in our service club in Fruita. We're a little mighty Rotary club, but you know, you pretty much make it happen.
Yeah, you know, and hosts have always done that. The service clubs, Duke, have always done. They always found a way to make it work. But I just think when you're starting to stretch thin groups that can host, and then hotels that are available, and you know, we're going to get more hotels down the road here in the Valley. Absolutely, we will. But still, I mean, right now, with as many as we have, with all the things that go on in this area, growing area, you know that from your time on city council and everything, and living here as long as you have.
Oh, yeah.
It makes it's things get stretched thin, and with all the things that go on, and I just, you know, you're asking for more hotels, you're asking for another week of commitment, at least a week of commitment from volunteers. I appreciate Tom making a suggestion. I just not give me the suggestion that's going to be the one they implement going down the road. I just don't see any way that happens. Hey, Duke, always great hearing from you. Thank you for
take
the
care,
call,
guys.
Call and drive safe today, okay?
You betcha. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Duke Wortman joining us this morning. I think he was on the committee for a long time. I think Duke might have been involved with hosting San Jack. If I remember correctly, he was part of the service club that hosted them. All right, 9:42 in the garage of NASCAR. Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan, coming up in a moment. It's time right now for...
That's the story of the greatest sport moment in all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's This Day in Sports History. Back in
time. All right, 1959, Yankees catcher Yogi Berra's errorless game streak ends at 148 games. If Yogi hadn't played in the game, he wouldn't have committed an error. If I hadn't played.
Exactly.
I was trying to come up with a Yogiism there.
It got early late that day.
Exactly. 1968, the Montreal Canadiens win the Stanley Cup, completing a sweep of St. Louis. 1972, the Giants trade Willie Mays to the Mets for pitcher Charlie Williams and cash. 1977, mired in a 16-game losing streak, Braves owner Ted Turner sends manager Dave Bristol on a scouting trip and names himself interim manager. Turner manages one game, they lost to the Pirates, before National League president Chubb Feeney pulled the plug on the stunt. 1980, Pete Rose playing for the Phillies, steals second, third, and home in one inning. Also on this day, 1992, Portland wins the highest scoring game in NBA postseason history, a 153-151 double overtime win over Phoenix. 1996, Al Leiter throws the first no-hitter in Florida Marlins history. And to wrap it up, 2003, Rafael Palmeiro, then with the Rangers, becomes the 19th player in league history, did 500 career home runs. Oh, got one more. Cannot leave this one out. 2015, NFL announces that Tom Brady will be suspended for the first four games of the season due to Deflategate.
Oh, there it is.
All right, we will take a break. We'll come back. We'll go in the garage with NASCAR Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. That's next on the Jim Davis Show.
Listening to the Jim Davis Show on the team. 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction.
Now, to anyone out there who wants to go fast, anybody.
I want to go fast.
Like an oval, because we're going to drive straight and we're going to be turning to the left.
Green flag, get ready to go in the air. Boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing, boys.
All right, it's time to go in the garage with NASCAR Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Not just a better deal, a better dealership, pricing, information, everything you need to know from the good folks at Montrose Ford Nissan at montroseFordNissan.com. From the great state of Iowa, NASCAR Fred joins us. Good morning, Fred. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Yeah, an interesting race in which we find out what will Joey Logano do to win a race.
That is true. Take us through the controversy involving Joey Logano's win at Darlington.
Okay, there was a restart with, two or three laps to go. And I think Joey's in-car camera kind of supports this. He said that, William Byron got into him, got him into the wall. So Joey said, okay, payback time. And with on the second to last lap, going into turn three, Joey just ran right into the back of Byron. Now, we're not talking bump and run. I'm talking bash and run here. I mean, didn't just get him out of shape. Byron got into the wall. And Joey cruised on and got the win. And he was, he put me in the wall, so I felt free to do that. But I don't know. I personally think the way Byron's car was getting toward those last couple of laps, I think Joey could have just passed him clean. But gosh, where's the fun in that?
Exactly. So, with Joey Logano, surprised at a move like that from Logano?
No, I don't think so. Byron, they're talking to him afterwards, and he says, well, he's just an idiot. He does that with everybody.
So, because I thought in the past he'd kind of tried to, put that reputation behind him, but apparently that is not the case for Joey Logano, right?
Well, not with moves like this. No, he's not going to be the NASCAR's most popular driver anytime soon, I don't think.
No doubt about that.
Dude is like, so what? I won.
So you had Tyler Reddick finishing in second place. Haley takes third. Kevin Harvick, Chase Elliott, your top five at Darlington. And just quickly through the others, Christopher Bell. You also had finishing in seventh, Michael McDowell taking a seventh spot at Darlington. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Austin Dillon, and Daniel Suarez rounding out the top ten. But Haley, a little bit of a surprise finishing in the top five.
Yeah, I don't really know how much of a surprise. It's been more of a case of the team has just kind of taken a while to gel. I mean, I know that Haley's good. He was quite successful in the Xfinity Series, and it's taken a while to get his feet under him after getting into the Cup Series. But I think he's going to continue to be strong. We were talking last week about how Darlington, tends to favor the experienced drivers. And, it's hard to get the hang of the place. But if you look at the top 10 this week, I mean, there's Tyler Reddick up in second, Haley, Daniel Suarez in the top 10, Christopher Bell. So the changing of the guard, it really seems like you kind of see it every week.
So you got Kansas coming up. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But Team Penske and the affiliated Wood Brothers racing team Looks like they're shaking up some pit crew changes ahead of the race at Kansas.
Yeah, that's not unprecedented. At Hendrick a year or two ago, they kind of shuffled a lot of their pit crew people around. Penske themselves, it's been 2 years ago now, they just kind of, all the crew chiefs just moved one chair to the left. And, you know, Paul Wolf, who had been Brad's crew chief, became Joey's crew chief, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, Jeremy Bullen's and Todd Gordon. So it's not, certainly not unprecedented, not a real big surprise. They look at things and say, well, you know, I think we might just be a little bit better off with this lineup here. So we'll see. It's a lot of times moves like that really do pay off.
Well, coming up Sunday, Kansas Speedway. It's the Advent Health 400, 1 o'clock our time, FS1. And so Ross Chastain, right now the favorite coming in, going into this weekend at Kansas. Let's go ahead and get our picks in. We'll start out with you, NASCAR Fred. Who do you like at Kansas coming up on Sunday?
Speaking of picks, I did pick the winner this week. You know?
Yes, he did.
Congratulations to NASCAR Fred on that.
I haven't been doing the greatest this year, but that's good. Kansas this weekend, I think I'm going to go with Martin Truex Jr. He's been contending. He's been up there. He's had some bad breaks. He wants to win one of these things, and I think he's going to do it.
I think Ross Chastain bounces back this week.
Okay, so you like Ross Chastain.
I do.
I'm gonna take Ryan Blaney. So that's my pick. You got Chastain. I've got Blaney. Fred, I'm sorry. You had who again?
Martin Truex
Jr. So there we go. We'll see if Fred can build on his win from last week at Darlington, over in neighboring Kansas, from where, of course, NASCAR Fred is in Iowa. So
Fred again, pulls into a tie for first place in our point standings.
Okay,
with 11.
Very good, Fred. Well done, sir. So see, you've gone from outhouse to penthouse just like that, thanks to a big win.
And he's tied with me.
Am I like way out, or am I just?
You're in third, so you're doing all right.
No, I'm like points wise. I know there's only three of us picking here, ding dong. I know that. I mean, how far out am I?
You're 3 points back.
Okay, that's not bad. Okay, that's good. I'm still in the hunt. Still in the conversation.
I lost a point with the DNF. Thank you, Martin Truex Jr. last week.
All right. Hey, Fred, we appreciate the time as always. Kansas this Sunday, FS1, 1 o'clock our time. Take care of yourself, Fred, okay?
Thanks, Jim. We'll do.
All right. That's In the Garage of NASCAR Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Not just a better deal, a better dealership. Pricing information, everything you need to know at MontroseFordNissan.com. Quick programming note, we'll have Maverick Baseball today. They take on CSU Pueblo. Our coverage starts at 2:45 today, right here on the team, brought to you by Ken Richards, State Farm Insurance. All right. I don't know if we really have much time for garbage time, because we're kind of running short on time.
Not really. Yeah, we're kind of up against it.
Let's see. Check out if there's any leftover text we need to get to. Now, on tomorrow's program, so we're supposed to have a member of the Young Dubliners in town. They have the Grand Valley Highland Games, got a pre-party tomorrow night, and then the Grand Valley Highland Games on Saturday and Sunday at the Mesa County Fairgrounds. So we'll have, I'm not sure who from the Young Dubliners tomorrow, but somebody in. We'll talk more about the Mavericks and their quest for an RMAC tournament championship if they take on CSU Pueblo today. By the way, for Grand Valley Highland Games, both days, Mesa County Fairgrounds, GrandValleyHighlandGames.com. to get your tickets for that. And that's our show for today. I'll be in with Cake tomorrow. And coming up in a few minutes, Jim Rome, right here on the Team Sports Network, online at thetheteam1340.com.